Do you have unpopular opinions? Well, we found a bunch on the internet.
My unpopular opinion is that I like cereal with warm milk.
That is disgusting. So let's roll this intro. All right, so we were over on our unpopular opinions over on Reddit, our favorite place to be, and we found all sorts of wonderful little interesting little unpopular opinions, and we thought it'd be cool to share them with you and tell you about maybe our unpopular opinions. Stephanie, do you have unpopular opinions?
Well, apparently, according to the poll that we took last week, my unpopular opinion is that I like cereal with warm milk.
That is disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
That is horrifying.
Don't idea down till you try it.
Literally everyone listening just cringed, I guarantee it. Because 100% of our poll was on my side, right? That's utterly disgusting.
Those are definitely all people who are afraid to try something. People, try it. Warm your milk up for like 10 seconds and then put cereal in it. Chef's kiss. Yeah. I mean, I won't do it with like Fruity Pebbles or stuff, but do it like with Chocos or what's the chocolate one? Cocoa Puffs. It tastes so good. And after when you drink the milk, it feels like it's like warm chocolate milk. Oh.
Literally everyone just unsubscribed. Thanks. Everyone just like deleted the downloaded podcast. They subscribed from our channel, retracted everything. You broke them. Man, I don't even want to go on anymore. I'm going to go sleep.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, do you have an unpopular opinion or why don't you start, like, let's start another poll and let's see if it's an unpopular opinion. Mr. I'm perfect because I drink cold milk.
I don't really have any unpopular opinions, I don't think. I think all of my opinions are sane and super great, you know? Super normal. Nothing weird like drinking hot milk in your Cocoa Puffs. Yeah,
not hot. Warm. Warm. Not hot. Warm.
You boil the milk over here, get it nice and frothy, Starbucks, and you pour it in your Cheerios.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay.
So, you like flying. I mean, you don't like flying.
Hate flying.
Do you prefer the window seat or the aisle seat?
Aisle.
The middle seat? Okay.
No, not the middle seat.
Unpopular opinion.
Don't tell me.
I love the middle seats on planes.
No. Why? Do they say why?
Okay. Yeah, they do. Don't get me wrong. The aisle seat is still superior.
Yes.
But sitting in the middle isn't much worse. In the middle, you get to talk to two people as opposed to one without having to lean over someone to make eye contact. You can also see the window fine, and getting up isn't that much of a haste. Sure, you can be cramped sometimes, but it really isn't that bad. But I want to read this comment.
It is that bad, actually.
Okay. Why on earth would you want to talk to someone, let alone two people?
That's what I'm saying. People are out here actually talking to people? Ew. What's wrong with y'all? God.
First of all, I prefer the window seat over the aisle seat. I just feel like when I'm sitting on the aisle seat, when they take that food cart thing and all, I don't like that. I like the window seat because I also can put like the pillow on and like, have a leaning spot. Never the middle.
Aisle seat, though, you can stretch out your legs every now and then, stick them out to the aisle
for
a while.
But I'm not that tall.
And also, the number one reason is you can get up whenever the rip and rip you want to get up. Whenever you want to take a little walk around the plane, you can just go and do it. When you need to go to the bathroom, you can just go and do it. You don't have to bump anybody. You don't have to slip past anyone. You're free. You're a free man.
No, I agree. I agree that you can do all that in aisle. I just don't like the thing of when they take the carts, like you have to be all like a little scrunch up. And then if somebody is sleeping on your thing, they'd ask you to, could you please wake that person up? If you're in the window, nobody's saying that to you. Also, yeah. I don't really
that is take, true. Get that up. Is true.
I don't really get up all that much. And then in the aisle seat, if the window guy wants to keep going out to the bathroom, you have to keep getting up to let that person out.
I get up a lot to exercise my legs, especially when I'm flying to India because that takes a long time.
Steph, I haven't flown too far in a while, so I'm okay with the window, but never the middle seat. This unpopular opinion is just wrong.
Yeah, that's garbage. I don't know who this person is. They're probably like just some shill for an airline company or something, trying to get people to
they're like, to sit please, in their seat. Please book our middle seat. Please
give us money. Please.
You can talk to people.
All right, Steph. I have one. I found one about going to the gym. Remember gyms? Remember when people did that? That was cool. It says this, you shouldn't have to wipe down gym equipment after using it. You should wipe it down before. I think they may raise a pretty good case here. Hear me out. Gym etiquette says you should wipe down equipment after using it. That's super true. The problem is there are people that don't do that. Because of the existence of these non-wipers, I see most people wiping equipment down before they work out because they want to know it's clean. That's the only way you can guarantee the equipment has been sufficiently clean to your standards, is if you wipe it down for yourself before using it. So what's the point of wiping it down after, if the next person to use it is just going to redo your work for fear of the equipment having not been sufficiently cleaned?
I agree. Because I will also say, remember COVID?
What's that?
When we used to go to fake restaurants news. And stuff, we would still like kind of take like a disinfectant, what do you call it, tissue and wipe it down. Even though you know
that's probably a good idea in general anyway, though, if you think about it, it's probably a good idea to do it.
COVID, I think. I didn't know that was like an etiquette thing that you should need to like wipe down after using, but I think etiquette, you wipe it down after just so that the next person, you know, doesn't have a sweaty like pull-up bar, it's just like sweat just dripping down,
right,
kind of thing. But logic says just wipe it down before you use it.
But if someone someone's just gonna wipe it down anyway at the beginning, which I don't necessarily always do that, sometimes I trust that it's already been wiped down.
No, but think about it. Like, if you have, like, really sweaty hands and you're just doing it and sweat's, like, say, dripping down, you obviously would be like...
That's very sweaty hands. What is this?
People have medical conditions. Don't make fun of that.
What is this? He could, like, just wash his car without anything, just with his hands over here. With his sweaty hands. He wrings them out into a bucket. What is this?
Hey, people have medical conditions. Don't judge.
Okay. Well, I think I agree with this one. This is a good opinion. We need to start
wiping
it down before and not after. So I'm never wiping anything down at the gym after I use it ever again.
See, it's one person's opinion. I think they will think that you're a crazy person not to do it. Anyways. True. Also, when have you been to the gym?
It's been a while. It's been a long while.
Unpopular opinion. I like when people blast music from their car. I know the general consensus is that it's rude, but personally, I enjoy when people drive past me blasting music. It's enjoyable to hear what people are listening to and add something interesting to my walk home. Then someone commented, and then I think that kind of helps this case, or however you want to see it. Car is fine. Public transport is obnoxious.
Here, we don't really have a lot of public transit happening here in general. But here's what I'll say. When you're on your walk, like this person is, Yeah, that's fine. It's awesome. You can hear who they're listening to. They're listening to that new Drake song, you know, and you're like vibing with it walking down the street. But when you're like me and you live in a place where people drive by all the time in the middle of the night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and you're trying to sleep and they're like blaring their music on their Harley, ripping it down downtown, you know, that's a little annoying. It's a little annoying.
I mean, coming from where I live, where it gets really loud sometimes, they have these, like, especially around like festivals and holidays and stuff, they have like all these drunk guys just like blaring their music. I remember when we were younger, we lived in a different house, and the guy who lived across from us, across the street, every night at 10 o'clock would sit in his car, not drive it, sit in his car and blast music. We'd know when he's coming in or going out of his house because of that. And do you remember that? I don't know if you had it there, but in India, there was this time where people put music to the reverse for their car. So whenever that car would reverse, it wouldn't go beep beep. It would go.
What in the Elon Musk Tesla metaverse is this?
It was. So they'd put it on reverse, and you would hear like a Bach or something go like.
I don't think that's legal here.
I don't know if it was here. It was like back in the 90s. Anything went. But yeah, that guy would, I hate it. And I think from that time, I just don't like it, because I just feel like, not that it's rude, I just, a lot of the music that people are blaring, I don't want to hear, because it's all like,
yeah, the club music. Because they're on their way to the club, or leaving the club.
Or they're not legal age of getting into a club.
Very few musicians who are in the top 40 can actually sing. Why do they sound so terrible live? Because they can't sing. Their studio radio albums sell millions, yet they sound a million miles away when live. Without autotune, 99% are talentless. Hard disagree.
First of all, can I say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but people think that putting autotune to someone's voice magically makes them like this perfect singer. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, like Lil Wayne has autotune in his music, but it's nothing to do with like changing how like vocally. Like if you're off key, you're off key. If you sing flat, you're flat. It's just either like they give different like enhancements to someone's vocals, making it sound a lot more like whole. It has nothing to do with them being like, you know, you can't say like, oh, this person is a horrible singer because he uses autotune. Like,
yeah. Well, like people.
No,
people,
a horrible singer is someone who cannot keep key and tempo and melody.
People also confuse. Auto-tune with editing vocals. Auto-tune is just an effect you apply to it and you adjust the parameters of it and automatically does stuff. Editing vocals, you can actually go in and adjust tonalities and pitch so that when you're flat, this artist doesn't have to record the same track 6-7 times. Instead, they just record it the once, and then the producer just goes in and, you know, fixes it where it's slightly flat or slightly sharp.
And also, I've also heard, like, you know, when people, like, singers, like, Adrian and I, we sing, too. And we have, like, reverb on our vocals. Sometimes you'd have, like, a little bit of echo on it. And people think that that's auto-tune. That's not auto-tune. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who have this sort of opinion don't play music or sing.
That is true.
There are quite a few people who are in the top 40 who don't sing very well or such, but there's a lot who do. But I wouldn't say they're talentless.
But also,
like if you listen, there are some like rappers, for instance, who whenever they sing, it's not great. Like the way, like when Kanye sings, it's not like, oh, this is like, you know, friggin' Adele or something, you know? But he's really, who would call him talentless? You know what I mean? Like, he's not talentless.
No, but if, what is this? I think, like, he's even a friggin' phenomenal rapper.
Like, come on.
If you go back and even listen to, like, a lot of, like, say, Elvis stuff, right? His recording versus mm-hmm. his life will be very different for multiple reasons. First of all, when we're just giving a lesson in music here, aren't we?
We are.
But like when you sing in a studio, it's a controlled environment where, you know, everything is perfectly for recording. And also a singer could sing the same part 10 times to get it right. When they're live, it's an uncontrolled environment. That means the stadium, the acoustics could be different, varying where they're doing it. Number two, most of the top 40 have like these big elaborate, you know, dance numbers, or, you know, there's some sort of movement. They're not just standing still focused on vocals. They're doing a lot of things. They're trying to entertain people. Right. And they don't have the opportunity to sing the same line 20 times to get it right. They have one shot to do it. And sometimes people, especially like people in the top 40, think they're touring every day for a month. Your voice, your vocal cords get tired. So, you know, that's why there's a lot of variation. And some people go like, oh, but you know, Michael Bublé sounds the same when he's live, or oh, Jason Mraz does. I said, they don't move a lot. They're mostly just standing in the same spot. But there's a lot of difference.
And then most of the time, there will still be difference. If you go to one of these really big shows like this and you're like, mm-hmm. wow, they sound just like the album, you're probably hearing the album, or at least part of the album. They'll be mixing in tracks and pre-recorded things. Oh. And in some cases, even vocals, especially if it's like, you know, there's a big dance number, like you're saying.
I heard the other time, so I was watching this, you know, the Capital FM Summertime Ball. It's like this big, like, music festival thing, and they have all these artists come in and stuff. And I was reading the comments, and someone goes, she's not really singing. They have a track on. And I was like, really? And I went to like hear it. People, they layer their voices. There are people who are singing harmonies and parts just because they don't have the mic to their mouth, and you can still hear vocals, doesn't mean that they are not singing live. There are people who don't. Nowadays, people are a little more honest about not that doing that.
I once got this this like trial track for recording software from Billie Eilish, and it's her song Ocean Eyes. And if you take it and look at it in the audio editor, you can mm-hmm. actually open up the folder and you can just see all these different vocal like stacks. It'll be like, I mean, I think there was like 16, 17 different vocal parts, and they're all like just stacked on top of each other. And so you can't sing 17 vocal lines live. You get one shot. You get one thing. You have to pick the one thing to sing. Everything else, if you want it live, it's got to be pre-recorded, or someone else has to be singing it. So, I mean, I would say that's a lot of talent, though, if you can build out that whole, you know, vocal stack.
Or you wait, or when you're at their concert, you wait 5 minutes for them to loop everything, do every like vocal stack separately.
Think about how long
that would be if you did it.
I do agree, Steph, that there are some who aren't as good as others at singing live.
I won't say that they're talentless. See, I think there's a difference between being like an amazing singer, but somebody may not be like a 10 on 10 on the singing scale, but they're 10 on 10 in entertainment. And that also plays a lot, like a big role in kind of promoting them as an artist. Because as a singer, especially a pop singer, you need to have that entertainment aspect to it. They can't just be standing there all broody.
Right. I don't want every single vocalist to be like an Adele. You know, Adele's fantastic, but oh my God, she's that's amazing. Boring. That's so friggin' boring. And like even Michael Bublé, like, you know,
like a selected audience.
He's great,
right?
But we need some variety, you know, we need some flavor up in here.
Yeah. I want to ask that person who they think is actually like a phenomenal artist or something and like kind of see what they think about it.
Yeah, we should have just had a whole podcast talking about this.
About honestly. I know.
We could have just
maybe we'll have a podcast or a YouTube video talking about like music theory and how you can actually be respectful to people who make their full-time job.
and then you can also take the Bob Ross approach, you know? They're just happy little mm-hmm. mistakes, you know? That's the little sprinkling of the seasoning in the song if Aww. Something isn't exactly as it's supposed to be.
That's sweet. Here, I have another one for us.
Okay.
Talking about entertainment. Our expectations for movies and TV shows have become so unsustainable that it's ruining our enjoyment of perfectly good stories. So I'm going to read this person's explanation, so bear with me.
Okay.
It seems like unless a movie or TV show is the best thing ever, then it must be utter rubbish. There seems to be no middle ground anymore. Yesterday, I went to see Lightyear with my three-year-old. I saw reviews saying how tired Pixar seems to be getting. I went in with low expectations. It wasn't perfect and clearly a ripoff of another well-known sci-fi story, but I enjoyed it, and so did my little one. I remember putting off watching Masters of the Universe Revelation because of the reaction I got. I loved He-Man as a kid, so I was disappointed. When I finally got around to watching it, it was a lot of fun. Not perfect, but I thoroughly enjoyed. I've been blessed with some incredible storytelling across movies and TV recently, but that seems to have become our expectation for the ordinary rather than the exceptional. It risks us missing out on a lot of fun stuff. I'm off to see Jurassic World Dominion tonight, despite everyone telling me how horrible it is. I'm looking forward to it.
Agree. Well, for one thing, there's way too much content out there today. There's way too much media.
That is true.
We can't watch every movie. We can't play every game. We can't keep up with every series. There's no way. There's so much out there, you know? And yeah, we rely on reviews to kind of pick, you know, what's the must-watch things, the must-see things. And I relate to this comment so much because I haven't seen that He-Man movie, and I really wanted to at some point, but I heard a lot of mediocre reviews, so I just kind of put it in the back of my mind.
So what I do, I think, except for the new Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, mm-hmm. that's the only one that I was like, I don't want to spend my money to go with, like, all these mixed reviews to the theater. But I will say this, that I don't really care about reviews all that much. I just watch movies. If I like read the synopsis or see that trailer and I'm like, oh, I'll watch it. I have watched a lot of like movies that people wouldn't like want to watch. Like the other day I made my mom and dad watch Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Wow.
I made them watch Peter Rabbit and Peter Rabbit 2.
I've heard that's pretty good though.
It is. But people like keep going about like, oh, we don't like this, we don't like that, we don't like the voice actor. I'm like, see, movies and TV shows, for me at least, I do it as a way of de-stressing or just like enjoying ourselves. And, you know, like everyone's like, but I spent 2 hours of my life, ba-da-da-da-da. I'm like, if you think it's work, obviously it'll be work. You think of it as entertainment and enjoyment and just relaxation, which it should be, then that's how it would be.
You know, Steph, when I realized that it was an actual problem?
When?
It was when the reviews came out for that Godzilla movie. You know, the new Godzilla movie?
Godzilla versus the...
Versus King Kong? Godzilla
King versus Kong, Kong, yeah.
But no, I think it was like the original one. Wasn't there one before it? Well, anyway, just in there, because people were like complaining that, oh, the story elements aren't that great, the plot isn't there. And I'm like, I'm not going to watch friggin' Citizen Kane. I'm not watching Sling Blade. I don't need to watch Shawshank what is this? Shawshank Redemption.
Redemption.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going in to watch that. That's not what I don't want. Every movie I watch to be this cinematic masterpiece that makes me have to like write a thesis on it or something. Sometimes I just want to go watch giant monsters trampling through cities, fighting and blowing stuff up. Is that too much to ask? It doesn't have to be a whole like dissertation process to like watch a movie. Like, we can have some variety. We can have Clifford the Big Red Dog. We can have Paddington right next to Citizen Kane, right next to Godzilla, an Avengers movie. See, this like, is, it's fine.
I think everybody has this thing of like, oh, we have to be a critic for the movie. Like, can I say this? The most popular movies in history, including Citizen Kane, actually flopped, and the critics actually did not like those movies. It was the public that actually was like, we like it. If you go and see most popular movies, critics would not like it.
That's like what Martin Scorsese complaining about the Marvel movies and stuff.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's a totally different target audience. Right. Marvel is targeting comic book nerds. First of all, secondly, just kids who grew up watching these, you know, Iron Man, and kind of fell in love with these comic book characters, introducing it to the mass. And then there are people who enjoy like a good Shawshank Redemption, or like 12 Years a Slave, or a good Les Miserables. Like, I know people who don't like musicals and just don't go watch musicals.
Here, yeah. Present, it's me.
See, I don't mind. I will watch any kind of movie, but that's just me, right? It's just like, I watch it because it's entertainment. It's fun. And if halfway through the movie I don't like it, I'll just stop watching it. I watched Mary Poppins today. The new one with Emily Blunt.
I didn't even know there was a new Mary Poppins.
I watched the original one. So I watched the original one, and then I watched this one, and I was like, oh, it's such a whimsical thing. But then if somebody like a critic watches it, it's like, what kind of movie? You're not the target audience. Just know that if you do not like the movie, you're not the target audience.
Right. I don't have to watch every movie that's like a 10 out of 10. Sometimes I want some 7s and 8s in there. Every now and then I may want a 2 or 3, you know?
Unpopular opinion, I do not particularly like Parasite. I watched a little bit of it. I watched like the start of it, and I was like, I'm not going to watch it. And it won an Oscar for the best. It won an Oscar for the best movie, and I was like, ugh.
The Oscars are dumb. Is that an unpopular opinion? The Oscars are pointless.
Yeah.
They're pointless and a waste of time.
Unless somebody slaps somebody, then it's like top tier.
Okay, I have one. I have an unpopular opinion. And this is one I'm going to preface to say I stand by 100%. Gift cards are actually good gifts.
Oh, I agree.
I'm tired of people always pretending that gift cards are an impersonal and lazy gift. Sometimes you just don't know what a person wants, or they don't tell you what they want to be nice. In my opinion, a gift card is better than straight cash. Straight cash just screams IDGAF about your taste or interest. Here's money. I disagree with that, though, because I think money is probably a better gift than a gift card.
See, I will say this. I don't know if you have a hard... Well, I have a hard time buying gifts for you, too. So my dad is very hard to shop for and buy gifts for, and so is Adrian. Because...
Just buy me a game.
Not because, like... Yeah, but it's like, what games? So I would rather buy you a gift card to GameStop or like a Nintendo thing and be like, hey, just go buy whatever you want to buy. What do you like? With my dad, it's the same thing. Like, I don't do it with my dad because I just go and be like, just pick something that you like. I will pay for it.
I mean, neither of us are really big into like gift giving or giving anyway.
Yeah, so. But what I mean to say is like my mom's very easy to shop for, buy gifts for my sisters, my brother-in-law. It's quite easy to like know what they like and stuff. But like my dad, he's really difficult to buy for. I would rather just give him a gift card to like a store that he likes and be like, pick out whatever you want and just use this card. I think it's more thoughtful to give a gift card than to give a gift that's actually just crap. Okay, I have one. And this one is specifically for you, my love.
Oh.
Okay. As well, in, like,
me,
I need.
Let me your... listen. Let me listen to some advice.
I need your opinion on this. Okay. Unpopular opinion. YouTube has ruined video game developers. YouTube, and more specifically, most gaming channels, have ruined game development, with more people than ever going straight to YouTube for best weapon in game, best build, best farm, best exploit, and it goes on, makes it unbelievably hard for a development standpoint to balance a game or to make the game how they want, because these are all things that affect how long someone plays a game, to how popular it becomes, how new user-friendly it is. People just don't play games anymore. They just beat them. Everything from start to finish is irrelevant thanks to YouTube.
This goes back to what I mentioned before. There's way too much content. I don't have time to spend 300 hours going through the game exactly the way you want me to go through when you develop it. Two, you should probably be grateful that people enjoy your game enough that they're willing to make content on it and people are wanting to watch your game. So I hard disagree.
I don't agree. I think, if anything, they actually kind of help game developers. Like, especially like if they're like, hey, this weapon sucks. Like in Fortnite, I remember when Fortnite was at its peak and all these Fortnite YouTubers were out, they would like because they would like get the game to them, they would like try it and all of that, and they would be like on their stream or on their channel, they'd be like, this weapon is like OP. And I remember like within a week or so, they would like nerf the weapon or change the thing. Like, I think more than anything, it actually gives developers like instant feedback going, especially like if bigger games, popular games, like, oh, this weapon actually is not working out, or people actually don't like this layout, like, okay, and stuff. And you scroll through their comments and you get these instant feedbacks. And I think that mindset of, oh, they're not going to play the game as we want it, is not true.
How about this one, Steph? Being an adult is more fun than being a child. People always say they wish they could be a kid again and just have fun with no responsibilities. I've always hated not being allowed to do things because I was too young. Even when I knew I would be okay to do it, I'd much rather have responsibilities and do whatever I want. I don't want to experience being a kid again.
I don't know. I mean, yes, I agree. I don't want to go back to school.
No, that was awful.
There is some sense of like financial freedom and independence that comes with being an adult.
Yeah.
But as a child, there's very less responsibility on you. Very less, what, like, a lot of people ask of you, and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they demand of you. It's quite less. They just want you to do good in school and then do good in life. But when you become an adult, there's a lot more. But overall, I like being an adult.
Well, think about being in school, right? You're in school all day long, and then after school, you have no say in what you do. As an adult, you go to work all day, but after work, you know, the mice will play, as they say. Yeah.
No, but also, I don't want to be a
kid.
No.
Especially if you live like me, you could be a kid every day and then still have all the fun. So,
I think people say, oh, I wish I was a kid because responsibilities, right?
Yeah. You still had them when you were a kid.
Yeah. It was just that if you didn't do it, your parents would get blamed.
Yeah. Someone would cover for you.
Yeah. But I like being an adult. I like having to. I don't know. I like it. I like financial freedom. I like, you know, just having a say in what I want to do in a day and not be at school. I think that's what, like, frightens me the most if I become a kid again, is to go to school. I have nightmares sometimes. Once I had a nightmare, which I can say this. So I have really weird dreams or like really bad dreams, and I will call Adrian and tell him like, hey, today this is a dream. So if you want us to start a Steffi's dream, what do we call it, segment, yeah, in our podcast from now on, make sure that you write it in the comments and we will start it. But I had a dream that I went to school as an adult, right? I went to school and my teacher told me that all my diplomas that I'd gotten, like my bachelor's and my master's, actually meant nothing. So I had to give my 10th and 12th grade exams again. And she said, you have to give it now, and if you don't give it right now, we will take away your diplomas.
That's a nightmare.
I woke up and sweat because they were talking about math and trigonometry and, no
Indian kid problems, huh?
True.
All right, how about this? A salad is just a deconstructed burger.
Yeah.
Exactly what the title says. Changed my mind. Both has the exact same things. Lettuce, tomatoes, bun / croutons, sauces, cheese, and some type of protein. It's literally the same thing.
It is.
It is. It's just all about proportions, right? There's more bread on a burger, and there's more lettuce and
green
a salad.
Yeah. So, I mean, depends. Some people like me. I like putting a lot of croutons in my salad.
Look, you gotta go to In-N-Out Burger, and you get the get it made protein style, and they replace the buns with lettuce leaves. There you go, for my low carb peeps.
Doesn't Taco Bell have something like that too? It's like a burrito bowl or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you would put in a burrito, it'd actually just be in a bowl. They just don't put the.
Yeah. No tortilla.
Tortilla.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one. I rather watch sequels premiere 2-3 decades after the original film than 2-3 years. We have seen how much impact sequels such as Top Gun Maverick, Ghostbusters Afterlife, and Coming to America, as well as TV shows such as Cobra Kai, have had. Makes better sense wondering what happened to the characters decades later than just a few years. It also makes sense from a fictional standpoint, since it introduces a new generation to the franchise as well as watching the original films. It will also avoid disasters such as Speed 2 and Caddyshack 2. Speed 2, I kind of agree to. I love the original. I don't know. You've not watched Speed, have you? Oh, it's a good movie.
Or Caddyshack. Or literally any movie that was listed that you just talked about.
You didn't watch Ghostbusters?
Nope.
No, like the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, the original one? Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
And then they tried doing like all these remakes, but they came out with the sequel, I don't know how many years ago. It's called Ghostbusters Afterlife, and it's good. They paid homage to that one actor who died.
Is that the one with the ladies in it?
No. Ghostbusters. That's a different one. This Ghostbusters is literally the sequel. Okay, it's not good. A remake. I don't know. I think some movies deserve sequels earlier than others. Like Top Gun had such a good ending, so it made sense 10 years later to introduce it. But say something like Spider-Man with, say, even Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, it made more sense to have it like closer together because of the storyline.
So, what about you? What are your unpopular opinions? What are we even talking about? I can't even remember. Let us know down in the comments below. Write us a message. We want to hear your weirdest, most outlandish, unpopular opinion. We've read some from the internet. We've given some of our own. There were some pretty bonkers ones in here today, Steph.
Yeah. Also, if you have any ideas for what you want to hear on our podcast, or if you want us to do another Reddit, you can just link the thread and we will react to it.
Yeah, and like this isn't something that we'll probably do every single week, but every now and then we like to do these sort of Reddit roundups. Just to see what's going on in the world today, you know, see what sort of interesting things the internet's talking about, things that might seem funny or interesting. We want to loop you guys in. Make sure you're aware of what's happening.
So, every Tuesday, a new podcast episode comes out. And if you're listening to us on any of our podcast platforms, you can watch the video version of this over on YouTube at
Adrian and Spotify.
And Spotify.
We're video on Spotify now.
Yeah, I forgot that. Also, if you like to watch some fun little YouTube videos, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We post a new video every Saturday. And you can drop in, say hi live, have a live conversation over on Twitch. So, yeah, there's so many different ways you can connect to us. Also, if you want to see how weird Adrian gets, you can follow us on TikTok. And if you want to see how wholesome we are, follow us on Instagram.
Yeah. It's like light side, dark side.
Yeah. So hope you have a wonderful week. Be nice, be kind, be good. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye, y'all.